Well, thanks to your pastor, first of all, for his words of welcome, for the invitation to share in this mission over the next couple of weeks. I go back a long way, I suppose, with St. Field as far as missions are concerned. I have many fond, happy memories of being engaged both in the tent, and it's great to be here tonight, and it's good to be sharing with your pastor. Sometimes we lift the phone to each other and encourage each other, and we both need that from time to time. Pastoral work is a little bit like that. But when you're in pastoral ministry, you don't often get the opportunity to actually give your testimony. So for me tonight, I'll try to do that as briefly as I can. And it's a joy to be able to tell you something about my conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. I grew up in Cookstown many years ago. I just turned 60 there a couple of months ago. But I grew up in Cookstown, mum and dad, six children, three boys, three girls. My mum and dad were not saved then. They were good churchgoers. And although my mother, when she married, sort of stopped going to church, she insisted we went out to Sunday school, which we did. And so from an early age, I can honestly say that I knew the way of salvation. Didn't hear it in church, but I heard it in other ways through the Sunday school. I went to a Little Brethren assembly. Three godly men ran that Sunday school every Sunday afternoon. I heard the way of salvation there, and I remember men coming out into our estate where I lived as a young boy, and I remember them telling us the story of the wordless book. So I've always known my need of salvation, that I was a sinner, that Christ died for me, that God loved me, and that I needed to come and put my faith and my trust in Him. But you know, whenever you're a young boy growing up, you think that not only have you got your whole life ahead of you, but also you are in control of your own destiny. But of course, that is not so. And I learned very early on in my life that my life was not my own. And I know that growing up, there were things that I did that I greatly regret. But they were part and parcel of growing up in those days. Those were the days I lived in a housing estate where it was completely 100% Protestant. Not only that, but the Catholics had been driven out from the estate, and those were the days of the tartan gangs and all those sorts of things. And without going into all those details, that was the kind of background that I had as a young boy. I got involved at that particular stage of life, both drinking and also playing poker. Believe it or not, but I loved playing poker, especially when I won. But that was part and parcel of my life, which I did behind my mum and dad's back. During those years, I became obsessed with two bands. I came from a musical family, I suppose I could say that. And as a result of that, I became obsessed with pipe bands. And I played with the Hard Memorial up in Dungannon. I played in the World Championships from I was maybe 9-10 years of age right through until I became a Christian, went to the Intercontinental Championships over in Toronto, and that was just my life. I loved being a member of the pipe band. But that wasn't enough. As a young man, I joined another four men one night up in a room in the local bar, and we began to go around the doors and collect money to buy flutes and uniforms to start a flute band, and we then started the Sons of William flute band. And the idea behind that was simply to get the young men off the street. That's what I thought, that's what we all thought, and yet whenever the band was formed, it just led to a revolving of band contests, band parades, drinking, getting further and further away from God. But you know, even though I had no thought of God in those days, I can assure you that God was interested in me, and God spoke to me in a number of ways. One night, coming from a band practice, coming down from the Viceroy, where the army sort of took over after that, coming down the hill just into the roundabout, the car stopped. My brother was in the car with me. He wasn't a Christian either. He's my older brother. And the car just suddenly stopped, and he tried twice to turn it, and it wouldn't go. And just at that stage, just right across the roundabout, there was a building that went up, there was a bomb explosion, and all the debris came down on the top of our car. And I remember my brother, who is now a Christian but wasn't then, he turned around, he said to me, "Boy, we were lucky." Well, it means that if we had him around the roundabout, the car would probably have been lifted, and dear knows what would have happened to us. But you know, sometimes God speaks and you don't listen. I remember playing with the band one Remembrance Sunday, and we were playing around the Cenotaph in Cookstown, then we went out to Coke, and then we came back into the Royal British Legion, and there we were playing darts and snooker and just getting on with life. Sunday was just the same to me as any other day. And I remember this particular day because this man came to the door. You had to press buttons in those days to get in through the gates. They were all locked because of the troubles. And this man came to the door and he said, "Tell me this. Who left that keg at the door?" And some of the men went out to find this keg sitting at the door and the wires hanging out of it. They recognized immediately that it was a bomb, and so they started getting people out through the other door. I actually ran in, if I believe, in my kilt, and I asked the folks in the door of the Cookstown Baptist Church to get the people out because there was a bomb next door in the British Legion Hall. We all got out through the door, and my father, who served during the war, my father was looking for another man, an old soldier by the name of Mr. Respe. We couldn't find him. And somebody said he didn't come out, he's still inside the building. So I went back in again with my father to see if we could get this man, and when we were there, we noticed him outside the door standing where the bomb was. And being an ex-soldier, although this man had cancer at the time, my father and I came up beside him and he bent down to lift the bomb. And he just had the bomb off the ground about 6 inches when he dropped it. And I remember at that time, I remember closing my eyes and putting my hands over my ears. I was absolutely sure I was gone. But you know, if I had been gone, I'd have gone out into a lost eternity. So we got him gathered up, left the bomb, ran across. Another lady was standing on the steps. She was the only one who hadn't come out. And we didn't understand why until we looked down and there was another bomb under the steps. So my father and I had to carry her, take her across. We got outside and about 3 minutes later, two bombs went off and the British Legion inside was almost wrecked. But you know, when you're a young, rebellious young man, you never think about these things. But I remember not long after that coming home from a hockey match, and I remember coming into Cookstown. We were all going together to have something to drink. And as a result of that, I said, "Look, let me out of the car. I'm going to go home, get changed, and we'll come down and I'll meet you later." So the man pulled in at the top of the hill. There were four of us in the car. Another young man with me said, "Look, I'm going to go with you." So he got out of the car. We walked down the street, and just as we were going down the street, the car went down over the hill and IRA gunmen opened up fire on the police officers who were there. And the young man who had got into the back of the back seat, into the front seat, and sat in the seat I was on, was shot. He spent months and months fighting for his life down in the Royal Hospital. That might have been the third, fourth time that God really spoke to me. But you know what? Do you see, when you think that you're the man, those things really don't bother you. By this stage, I was married Christine. She was 17. I must have been about 14 or so, but we married. And I remember not long after we married, Christine came with the good news, "We're going to be parents." I thought, great. And so the time passed and the pregnancy was over and Christine gave birth to a lovely little girl called Karen. By this stage, I was a butcher and I was going down to work every day to the pig factory, the Unipork as it was then. And I remember one day at my break, and one of the four men came in and he said to me, "John, could I speak to you?" I said, "Sure you can." And I was filled with fear for the first time in my life, because I had stolen a number of knives out of the factory to take home to cut up pigs for people on their farms so that I could make some money. But when we went outside, he never mentioned the knives. He just simply said, "Was everything all right at home this morning?" I said, "Yes. What's wrong?" And he broke into tears. And I said to him, "Billy, is it my wife?" He said, "No." And I knew automatically it was the baby. And I said, "It's the baby." He said, "Yes." And I looked across the gate. There was a neighbor waiting to take me home. And I went home and I found my daughter, 7.5 months old, lying in her cot dead. It was what was termed a cot death. And I remember at that stage people coming to me and saying to me, "Do you know God loves you?" And they were sending tracts, and every tract came into my house. I say this regrettably. I took those tracts, I put them in the fire. When Christians came to me to tell me about how much God loved me, I didn't believe it, because after all, God had taken from me the only thing apart from my wife that really mattered to me at that time. But you know, one day my whole life was transformed. I went into work and I was standing in work, and this man looked across at me. He says, "You look miserable." I said, "I am." He said, "You need the Lord." I burst into tears and left. Went down the stairs into the killing passage, and there in the killing passage, there was a Bible sitting. And I just flicked the Bible over twice, and it opened to John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I read through those first six verses. I sat in tears, closed the Bible. Then when I got settled, went back to work. That afternoon, a man came to me. He said, "John, will you come with me to church on Sunday night?" I said, "No." But he kept pestering me. And I said, "Okay, I'll come, but leave it there." And he went out through the door. I'm sitting ready to go home. 300 people, perhaps, all finished for the day, playing table tennis, talking together. He walked in through the door. He said, "John." And everybody stopped. He said, "What if you're not here on Sunday night? Where will you be?" You know, I just burst into tears again. And out I went. But you know something else? I went to that meeting. Couldn't wait to get out of it. But then after my daughter had died, I began to think about Christian things. Where was my daughter? Death's a reality. Where is she? My brother Billy, who had been in the car with me, had just got saved a number of years before that, began to witness to me. And I went with him to a mission up in the Gospel Hall in Cookstown. Jim Allen was the evangelist, and I remember sitting there listening to the Word of God at a mission just like this. A rebellious young man, no interest in spiritual things, and God spoke to me. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a rebellious young man. You don't care much for the things of God. You don't even want to be in this meeting. You have it in your heart you'll not come back to the mission. That was me. And through that, God spoke to me. And 2 months later, after living with conviction for 2 months, God saved me. God saved me. And my life transformed completely. And as a result of that, my wife and I began to pray what we might be able to do for God. And God revealed himself to us. I went to Bible school, spent 3 years in the Bible school, and God called me my first pastorate in Kilray. Great time there for a number of years, up into Armagh, to South Armagh, along the border in difficult days, and it was tough, but I learned so much. I left that and I went to the Slavic Gospel Association, spent a number of years teaching the Word of God to young people and old people out in Eastern Europe and Central Asia. But something happened that again changed my life, and I had two back operations, then a third one. I couldn't go back to Eastern Europe, but God brought me back into the work of God when my doctor told me I'd never walk. But God has given me the opportunity both to walk and to work. And you know what? I look back over all those years, and I can honestly say that I have failed God often. God never has failed me once. Never. I'm sorry if I've taken too much time, but I could go on for the rest of the night, and I don't want to do that. But I do know this. You, like me, might be someone and you're saying to yourself, "Well, that's fine. That's what happened to him. It'll never happen to me, for I have no interest in these things." I know how you feel, because that's where I once was. And I'm going to say this. Jesus Christ transformed my life, and he can do exactly the same with yours. So I encourage you to trust him, and you'll never have a better opportunity as another mission comes to Saint Faith.